This is Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We're about to have a conversation with Adrian Leigh, who's coming to Baltimore for a concert this weekend. One of the most amazing and original guitarists anywhere, really. He'll be here on Saturday night, October 5th, at the Carroll Arts Center in Westminster, one of the great Common Ground on the Hill concerts. And Adrian Leigh, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show, and almost welcome to Baltimore.
Well, thank you, Mark. I'm actually in Maryland. I'm at the Chesapeake rest area right now.
Oh, you're on the way? Oh, you're not far.
No, very close indeed. I'm on my way to D.C. for a private do.
Well, I'm glad you're in Maryland, and welcome. I have to tell you that first hearing your music, I was blown away by the intricacy of your playing that our listeners will hear in a few minutes, and it's a complex style that I've heard nowhere else.
I learned all wrong for a start. So every time it went wrong, I had to make up something new to cover the gap. And I don't know. I'm just another Brit reflecting American culture, really. And I reflect, I think, the American guitar from at least 3,000 miles away. I mean, some of it's 5,000 miles away. So it came to me in the 50s and 60s, just in dribs and drabs. I couldn't get enough of it. I wasn't allowed to. We didn't really have proper communications in those days. It was pre-internet, pre all that kind of stuff. It was even pre-transatlantic phone calls. The libraries had no information on what was going on in America. And my elders disapproved thoroughly of everything to do with America and the guitar. So it was kind of banned, which made it much more exciting. You know, so essentially, the bits that I get, I saw as a whole. You know, whereas you have people over here diligently tending various beautiful trees, I'm so far away, all I could see was the wood. So for me, Elizabeth Cotton and Lonnie Mack are the same thing. They're the American guitar. So I think I've been trying to understand why everybody's been saying, oh, you're so eclectic. I said, well, I'm not. This is what I heard. And I've only just really understood what I'm actually doing. And it's simply reflecting the wood from very far away.
So what is it, do you think, about the American musical culture that so entices and infects the British musicians, especially of your generation?
Well, it's rich and diverse. I mean, we live in a very small country where if there's any kind of folk preoccupation or general preoccupation, it would be brass bands and last night at the proms. And I was brought up on classical music and in the church choir. So our society was then quite narrow. It's broader now because we've had mass immigration and lots of other cultural influences coming in, which has been great. But then, from the 50s through to the 70s, there wasn't much information. And American culture was just so diverse, you know, literally, from Elizabeth Cotton to Lonnie Mack, with a few blues singers somewhere, and rock and roll and jazz, and the electric guitar. I mean, if you look at the steel string guitar, it didn't really happen until the German luthiers, who weren't allowed in the Violin Makers Guild, and C.F. Martin tells that story, and consequently left Germany to come here. It was after they got here that the steel string guitar happened, and when that happened, it exploded. It went in all kinds of directions, the straight acoustic thing. You can plug in acoustics now. There's electric, there's jazz, there's rock, there's, you know, it's extraordinarily diverse and fertile as a result, and that's what's exciting.
Well, I was wondering, listening to the different ways that you play, the different styles you play in, they can be blues, country, Cajun, a little country and western. I mean, there's all of them happen, classical riffs as well.
You have great orchestras here, by the way. I mean, you know, it's not just the folk culture that you have here. You have some fabulous orchestras.
Absolutely, that as well. But when I listen to your playing, it covers all those kind of genres of music, and I was wondering how much of your licks and finger picking that you do, and the way you learned it, the way you kind of created this sound, came out of your years building instruments. And now kind of, and many of these instruments you play, you've built yourself, right?
Yes, When I started off, I had no access to guitars as such, and this profound air of disapproval around the whole thing. So I made things. I made anything that would go twang, and I made them out of scraps from the woodwork bin at school. And it was thoroughly disapproved of, but I got weird and wonderful things with three strings or five strings that went twang, and I was happy. So my understanding of the guitar, which was reinforced by my time in the musical instrument industry, is actually a very simple arrangement of wires and planks and frets. And you can change it in any way you like to make the sound you want to make. So I love the guitar dearly, and I love American culture around the guitar dearly. But I'm quite happy to change it. And I think that's probably quite a lot of what happened in America. I mean, most Americans were quite happy to change the guitar to make it do what they wanted to do. So I think I probably reflect that attitude as well.
So as a luthier, do you still make instruments?
No. I retreated into the instrument industry. I was playing in pubs and clubs, and I was playing acoustic. And the electric in the pubs and clubs was completely separate from the acoustic. And I don't know how it happened, but I got some broadcasting work with the acoustic. I didn't get very far with gigs. I got lots of work at the BBC doing solo things that they slotted into overnight programs and things like that, which was very helpful with the rent, you know. But there was this conflict between the two things. They were very different in a lot of ways. And I kind of gave up. The pub work was drying up. Things were changing. And I went into the instrument industry as a tech. And while I was in the instrument industry, I could muck around all day with a whole warehouse full of guitars. And my boss didn't understand what I was doing, which was great. He didn't understand me or the computer in that place, but he thought they were both probably very good things. He didn't know what they did, which is great. So I did pretty much what I liked. And I was responsible for artist guitars going out in playable condition, that kind of thing. I was responsible for a certain amount of R&D. I did some development work on some of the Vox guitars when that company relaunched them. So I had a whole warehouse full of stuff. I could order any tools or parts I wanted, and I could mess around to my heart's content. And there, I found a way of blending together the elements of acoustic and electric that I wanted. And I could make that work. And that's essentially what I've been doing ever since. What I do now came together in a workshop in Gospel Oak.
So these instruments you create, I'm curious, when you create an instrument that you play on stage and you have this to kind of create these new sounds, are the new sounds in your head as you're making the instrument, or does that kind of way of playing and style come out of the instrument itself? Or is it kind of a dialectic between it?
I wouldn't over-egg the making instrument part of it. I don't think I've made any instruments that were worthwhile, but I've certainly hacked a lot of them about. And the guitar I use now was made by a very good friend. So I got to a point where the reason I started repairing was I got some terrible work done. And I thought, well, I can do better than that. And I did. And that's how I got into the instrument industry. Then I met people whose quality of work I could never equal. And I thought, well, okay, if I need something done, I'll go here. I'm not going to sit there and bang my thumb with a hammer to run this guy down the road. Could do it much better. So then when we developed the guitar I've been using for the last 15 years, the overwhelming priority at that time was getting it across the Atlantic without it getting smashed up by the airline. So... at the time, United introduced the Boeing 777 on the transatlantic run. And they were very nice to us because they didn't want us to look out the window and count the engines. It was the first transatlantic twin. And nobody had given out any information about the overhead. So the first time I got on one of these, I had a full-size guitar. They were very nice. And they took it and put it away. And they were very nice to me. And the first thing I did was measure the overhead. It was 37.5 inches long. So my guitar is 36.5 inches long. First rule of airline travel is thou shalt not annoy miss. If you annoy miss, your guitar gets checked. And if it gets checked, it probably gets destroyed. So that was one of the requirements. The other was a postural issue. If you look at guitar players playing, the regular right-handed that happened to me. I started to get problems with my arms because a lot of my technique is really unorthodox. I was straining tendons and muscles and joints that are not meant to be strained like that. So we addressed that problem. I remembered something I did when I was very young. I made something that had a kind of cutaway that fitted over my thigh, and that lifted the neck up diagonally and kept my shoulders straight. So the other part of the priority was to make a guitar that did that, that sat diagonally. So my back was straight, my shoulders were level.
So I'm wondering, listening to your music, if the closest I came to thinking about when I heard your music, the musician that grabbed me the most, that made me think of you the most, was John Fahey, who took a lot out of the place of the blues tradition of Mississippi and also out of Appalachia in creating his kind of very unique style of music. Which is, so have you listened to his music? Or do you think of?
Yes, I worked with him years ago.
Uh-huh.
He's a very interesting man. Very interesting. He and Leo Cocky. I like that American primitive idea. That made a lot of sense to me when they were talking about Leo and what's his name? Sorry, brain's going. The big truck just went past. That's a big truck. they coined the phrase American primitive.
Right, they did. Right, right.
Yeah. Say, pardon me. I remembered it now. The truck's gone.
would that make you British primitive?
No idea. I haven't got a clue. I just do it, and everybody tries to figure out what bag I'm in, and I don't know. It's the American guitar, the whole thing. In all its dubious, mucky glory. I love it.
Well, we've been here talking with Adrian Legge, and he's coming to Baltimore. The concert's this Saturday night, October the 5th, at the Carroll Arts Center in Westminster, one of the great Common Ground on the Hill concerts. For ticket information, go to Common Ground on the Hill, one word, commongroundonthehill.org. Adrian Legge, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mark. Great
pleasure. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. To hear the show again and podcast any of our past shows and find out information about our guests, the work they do, what they've been writing, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. For Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.